The 330 Sports Show. We're going to try something a little different today. We're going to actually throw four separate shows at you. So we're going to do a four down Thursday. So on first down, we're going to start with high school football. And I'm going to bring in our guest in just a minute. I just wanted to let you know that this first down will be brought to you by Alexa Smith DO here on Youngstown Studio. So I appreciate her support of our studio. Again, it is September 8th, 2022. And with that said, let's bring in our guest. He's going to give us a little preview of the weekend in high school football. He just knows his stuff. So I'm going to bring in Austin Malutik of Malutik Live. Austin, how you doing?
Justin, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, first time on the show, but obviously, you know, I know you're one of the experts when it comes to high school coverage in our area, especially. So, Austin, first of all, you know, for anyone that maybe watches my show but maybe isn't familiar with you, tell them a bit about yourself and how you got into this.
Yeah, so my name is Austin Malutik. I went to Lovell, graduated in 2017. Started Malutik Live my junior year of high school, just basically covering some of the schools around the area. Started with just the conferences that Lovell was in, so the MBAC. And then once I graduated, I was able to get into more conferences. And then next thing you know, we just kept growing, picking up other schools. And right now we're at 55 high schools around the area, and we cover all the football, basketball games. And we also have YSU and Westminster on our docket.
Wow. So, I mean, it's got to be exhausting. You put in a lot of time and work. So what does a typical weekend look like for you or your crew or whoever?
So Friday I work. So tomorrow I'll work from noon until probably 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Saturday I'm back here by 8:30 because we do a morning show, and then whatever's going on Saturday. So this Saturday I'll be at YSU, and then I have to go an hour away because we have Wyndham playing football Saturday night, so I'll be with them. We have other games going on, and then Sunday I'll turn back around, come here in the morning, work in the morning, and then all the guys come back and we watch NFL on Sundays here. So that's fun, a little relaxation after a long weekend. But if I feel like I'm here more this weekend than I am at home, you know.
Okay.
It gets tiring, but we love it.
How many games do you go out and see live on a typical week?
So Friday nights, I don't go out. I just, send somebody at each and every game, and then I stay back at the HQ just to make sure everything's running okay. Tomorrow, that's changing, though. I'm going to actually go out on the field and have someone back here. So I think tomorrow's going to be a little interesting, maybe a little harder, but I think we'll get through it. But we shall see.
Okay. All right. And you had mentioned since 2017 you've been doing this. So pretty awesome. So you've gotten to know a lot of the coaches and ADs and a lot of the players in our area. So, what's that like, just getting to know, these players and these coaches and forming relationships with them?
Oh yeah. It's interesting because, sometimes, you know, those coaches, those ADs from when I was back in high school, and a prime example is Kevin Hoke. He's now the AD at Hubbard. You know, he was actually the baseball coach, Jackson Moulton. Lovell and Jackson Moulton are in the same conference. So like I got to know him my last 2 years of high school, just playing against him as he's coaching. Now it's like we're working together, and the communication between the two of us is just, great. He's one of my favorite ADs to work with.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. All right. So with that said, Austin, let's get into kind of, the nuts and bolts of what you guys cover. High school football, obviously you cover all the sports, but, high school football, I think, as we all know, in the state of Ohio especially, is the driving engine behind, pretty much all athletic departments. So what have you seen so far? Give us, I guess, I'm gonna throw this out generic, but you can answer as in-depth or as, not in-depth as you'd like. But give me, I know you do power rankings. Give me some of the top teams that you've either seen or, just from some of your people being out, in our area.
Well, I think two of the top teams to look at in this area, definitely Austintown, Fitch, and Ursuline. I have them 1 and 2 in my power rankings, and definitely they're going to change after tomorrow night because these two teams play each other at YSU, and this game is going to be a lot of fun. I think this one tomorrow night is going to be a very high-scoring affair. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out on. Two of the best teams in this area. I think South Range has a golden opportunity to make it to the state championship. Obviously, with Kirtland moving to D6, they give South Range a cushion to go far. They look good. Cheney is surprising some teams. They're not surprising me because I knew they had the chance. And the head coach, obviously, Coach Antrim, I knew they had the pieces. It was just whether they can put it all together. I think a lot of people are surprised with Lovell. I don't see why they would be surprised. I mean, Lovell returns everyone from last year. I think they're one of the best teams in Division 7 along with JFK. So, and then obviously Girard as well in Division 5. So,
okay. Yeah, the little Girard Indians. Joe, our studio owner down here, is a Girard graduate.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, you had mentioned Ursuline and Fitch down here at YSU tomorrow night. Probably the biggest game in our area, if not, you know, most of Northeast Ohio, but two great powerhouse programs in our area. But what are some other games people can look out for this weekend?
Well, I think I have one penciled in my pocket. I'm not saying this just because I went to Lovell, but I think it's a Lovell-Springfield game. Obviously, Lovell's 3-0, Springfield's 0-3. Lovell has not beat Springfield since 2010. So it's been 12 years since Lovell's beat them, and Lovell's got all the pieces this year. Springfield's got the injury bite right now. They got some guys out tomorrow. So I think Lovell takes advantage tomorrow and, you know, gets a big win on the road. This definitely gets them some computer points for sure. Another big game I'm looking at is Girard and Jefferson. Both teams are 3-0. This is an NEA opener for both teams. Both teams look really good first 3 weeks. They haven't had a close game yet. I think tomorrow night in Jefferson is going to be a really fun game as well.
Okay. All right. Very good. And Austin, who are some of you know, the standout players in our area? Obviously, you got one right there in Lowellville who's one of the highest ranking statistical leaders in the entire country. But why don't you give us a few names to look out for this weekend?
Yeah, obviously, Justin, Vinny Ballone, one of them. If you look at Warren JFK, I mean, they have a big line. So, obviously, Pat Vallant is one of them. You look over at Beaver Local, obviously, Austin Klein, a quarterback. He's been looking pretty good. Christian Lynch, the running back at Ursuline, he's been tearing it up, especially losing McElroy last year at Ursuline. For this Lynch kid to step in and look good, that's a big part. And for Girard, obviously Nick Belanga, quarterback, he's been looking pretty good. So, you know, those are just some eyes that I've been keeping an eye out on.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to. But I feel like, you know, you interacting with a lot of these high school head coaches, who are some of, you know, who are some guys out there that, you know, maybe you look up to, or maybe that are some of the best role models out there that you've seen, whether it's on the field or off the field?
I'll give you one, Justin. It's TJ Parker from Fitch. It doesn't matter win or lose. Obviously, TJ's done a great job at Austintown so far this year. Every time I've talked to him, he's always asking me, hey, you know, how have you been? I mean, we're always talking about the Browns as well. So it's not even like we're talking about Fitch. We're talking about other different things. You know, some personal stuff going on in my life. He's there to help me. You know, I'm getting his opinion on stuff. So I think TJ from Austintown is probably one of the top coaches that I can go to and talk to at any time of the day. And then obviously Seth Antrim from Cheney, another one.
Very good. Very good. Austin, so let's just I'm going to just ask you one or two more and get you out of here, because Austin actually has a show coming up in just a little bit. I'm going to have him tell you about that. So, Austin, how can people, first of all, get, you know, a hold of you or watch either your show or get your updates on social media or any of that stuff?
Yeah, Justin. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Melodic_Live. All of our scores on Friday nights are on there. So whenever a team scores a touchdown, a field goal, or a safety, it's updated. Tomorrow, I think we have 25 games. Last week, we actually had 35. So this week's cut down a little bit because now we're in conference play. So you get a lot of these local teams playing each other. We're having every score tomorrow night. We have all the games covered. And then every time someone scores, obviously we have it up on the social media pages.
Okay, very good. And obviously, the MLO bros, who we all know very well, you know, kind of the loudmouths in a good way of our community, have invited Austin and I on and several other guys on Friday afternoons at 3 p.m. So you can look for us on there. Last week I was in Columbus, so I was in and out of the thing, but we pick all the high school games on Fridays that weekend. So that's a lot of fun. So you can look for that on the MLO Bros channel.
Well, it's going to be funny, Justin, because next week I get to go live with you guys from Kentucky, because Youngstown Ooh. State gets to go to Kentucky next Saturday. And I got the privilege and the opportunity today to go with them and cover the game for the station. So I will be down there next Friday coming to you guys live on the MLO Bro Show.
Very nice. Coach Stoops down there, and former Boardman running back Sean O'Horo down there now. So former quarterback Lynn Bowden from there. We got a lot of Youngstown connections in Kentucky. I think there's a Boardman kid down there as well.
Yeah, another kid. I went to three games this year so far, whether it's on a Thursday or a Saturday in high school. And every game I've been to, no lie, I've seen Sean O'Hara's father on the sideline. And he's came up to me every time and said, "Hey, you going to Kentucky for the week three game? You going to Kentucky?" I'm like, I'll be there. So, Sean's great family, great friend of mine. I actually graduated with his sister, Caitlin. I think we're the same age. So, it should be an interesting game next weekend.
Very nice. Yeah, the O'Horo family, I'll give a shout out too. I actually had Catherine. I'm a former teacher of Catherine's, and just a wonderful family. But we wish Sean all the best of luck down there. And his brother is quarterbacking another team up in Michigan there. So a very athletic family. And Catherine, I think, is a softball player over at Clarion as well. Yeah. So very, very athletic family. All right, Austin, last question before you get out of here, because I know you're a big Browns fan. So just give me a score prediction and how many times Mayfield goes down on Sunday.
I'll be honest, I hope Mayfield goes off. I'm a big Baker Mayfield fan. I hope he goes off, but I hope the Browns still win. I love Baker. Okay. It was tough to see him go. I think we're in for a good game this weekend. I already bought my week two and three tickets. Dear Lord. We shall see, but I think it's going to be a good game week one, and we shall see, but I hope Myles Garrett goes after him.
Absolutely. Well, I am in the just win Browns category. I don't really care what happens. If Mayfield throws for 400 yards and the Browns win, whatever. If he gets sacked 20 times and the Browns win, even better. So hopefully we can make this a weekly thing. Austin, appreciate you jumping on, and make sure to follow Malutic Live over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. So Austin, thanks again, and we will talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Justin, appreciate it.
All right, guys. So this was our first down segment of high school football. We appreciate you joining us, but stay tuned in just a minute. We're going to bring you second down, and we're going to go in order. So first down, high school. Second down, we're going to go to college, the Buckeyes, YSU, all that stuff. Third down will be the Browns, and then fourth down will be Guardians, Cavs, a bunch of stuff. And Joe and I are just going to BS a little bit too. So as I get my voice back here. So with that said, we're going to turn the page, but make sure to follow Youngstown Studio to get this next alert for second down. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you in just a minute. All right. We are back for second down. We're going to go second down, third down, fourth down here. A little transition in between each. I'd like to thank Austin Malutic of Malutic Live for joining us on first down. This segment will be brought to you by the Kat Miller campaign. Fantastic. She does a fantastic job in the city of Struthers. So get out and vote. She is a big supporter down here of Youngstown Studio. So thank you to Kat Miller and her campaign for supporting Youngstown Studio. All right. With that said, we are going to get into the second down segment, which is the Ohio State Buckeyes and a lot of college football talk in this segment. So we obviously had a huge game over the weekend. I had a phenomenal time down in Columbus this past weekend, getting down to the Horseshoe, 100th anniversary of the Horseshoe, 20th anniversary of the 2002 national championship team. Just like literally tens of thousands of people everywhere, every direction in Columbus you look for. Ohio State and Notre Dame, two of the biggest brands in all of sports, really, not just college football, but all of sports, professional included, around the world. So Ohio State with the big win, 21-10 over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The total was not even anywhere near close. Obviously, the under hit at 31. And the Fighting Irish cover the 16.5 point spread with the Buckeyes kind of, you know, they were kind of losing a good portion of the game, 10-7 until late in the fourth or late in the third quarter when they took a 14-10 lead and then just ran the ball like crazy and just pounded Notre Dame in the fourth quarter. So with that said, a nice victory. You got to remember, Notre Dame, whether, you know, whatever it was, they're still a preseason top five team. And, you know, obviously right here, we got the Rudy graphic. He must have jumped in the transfer portal to Ohio State. And then if you ever watched Titanic too, the grandma or whatever with the little bead. It has been 86 years now since Notre Dame has beaten Ohio State. You know, they played seven times. Ohio State now 5-2 all time against the Fighting Irish, but a nice victory for the Buckeyes nonetheless. They go in and get the job done in a big, big way. So here are the offensive Buckeye leaves I'm going to give out for last weekend. So CJ Stroud, not a huge numbers. We're usually accustomed to him putting up, you know, 300 plus yards, but 234 yards through the air, 24 of 34, which is about 70%. Two touchdowns, no picks. That's the key one right there. Travion Henderson, 15 carries for 91 yards, which is 6.1 yards a carry. Emeka Ibuka, 9 receptions, 90 yards in his first start with one touchdown. Mayan Williams, the other running back, who just kind of like a bowling ball out there. Lovingly, they used to call him Meatball, but now he wants to be known by Pork Chop. I think that's a little less fatty meat there. So as he slimmed down in the offseason, but 14 carries, 84 yards for Mayan, 6 yards a carry, 1 touchdown on the ground. Also want to give a shout out to Xavier Johnson. This is a former walk-on player. Now, you lose last year. You lose Garrett Wilson, number 10 pick in the NFL draft. You lose Chris Olave, number 11 pick in the NFL draft. Jameson Williams, former Buckeye, was the 12th pick in the draft, obviously transferred out. But then Jaxon Smith-Njigba, arguably the best receiver in the country returning to college football, goes out in early in the first quarter, has 2 catches for 3 yards, and misses basically 55 minutes of gameplay. So in steps Xavier Johnson as a former walk-on player and scores the go-ahead touchdown with 17 seconds left in the third quarter to give a Buckeyes a 14-10 lead, which they would not relinquish. And on the very next play, the kickoff coverage goes down and gets the tackle on special teams. So a really cool moment there. Also want to highlight one of the offensive linemen, Paris Johnson Jr., number 77. He's the left tackle. You're going to hear his name a lot. Probably a future top 10, top 15 pick. Played all 71 offensive snaps against a very good Notre Dame defensive line and only gave up one pressure during those 71 snaps in Stroud's 34 dropbacks as well. So well done by the Buckeyes offense. Again, nothing. A lot of people are saying, you know, where was this high-powered machine that we're expecting? But sometimes you got to grind games out. You got to remember, too, Notre Dame played this game sloppy to win. They wanted to pound the ball. They came in with a defensive mindset and a, we're going to run the ball. We're going to slow it down. Obviously, the fewer possessions, the fewer chances the Buckeyes have to score. So Freeman came in with a, let's muddy it up on offense and keep the ball out of Stroud's hands and you know, give Notre Dame credit because they really did a nice job. And I will tell you, being in that stadium, there were a lot of nervous people there in the third quarter until the Buckeyes eventually did take the lead. So well done by Notre Dame's defense. But hats off to the Ohio State defense. Jim Knowles came in from Oklahoma State, given a big contract as defensive coordinator. He came in with a game plan. And, you know, besides really two plays, Notre Dame on its very first play of the game, 54-yard catch on a missed tackle. And later on, just a crazy catch, which was the only Notre Dame touchdown drive. And besides those two plays, you take that out, Notre Dame did not do much in the air or on the ground. So credit to the Buckeye defense. And I want to highlight three guys, especially Mike Hall. Mike Hall's from right up the road here in Streetsboro, 330 kid. Tommy Eichenberg, nine tackles and two sacks. He was flying around the field, looked great, and really solidified that Buckeye linebacker core. And then Lathan Ransom, who didn't even start the game, but came in as a reserve safety and has been talked about highly in this preseason, really stepped up, made a lot of really nice plays and tackles for the Ohio State defense. So hats off to Mike Hall, Tommy Eichenberg, Lathan Ransom, and the rest of the Buckeyes defense who really, really did a good job. Let's take a look at Ryan Day and his resume, what he's done so far. So right now, 35-4 record overall, 23-1 in the Big Ten. Previous to being at Ohio State, just to give you a little background on who this guy is, he was a former quarterback in high school in New Hampshire. You know, New Hampshire is not a state that you would think of that produces a lot of NFL talent, but did end up playing for Chip Kelly at the University of New Hampshire before Chip Kelly went on to Oregon and a lot of fame. Ended up going to be the offensive coordinator at Temple and then Boston College before going to the NFL, quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Same role with the San Francisco 49ers. And then eventually Urban Meyer hired him on staff in 2017-18 to become the OC and quarterbacks coach at Ohio State, where obviously he has taken over the Buckeyes role and is considered an offensive genius. So Ryan Day doing a fantastic job with the Buckeyes. We appreciate and all he's done. I know it is not an easy job. One, being an Ohio State coach, because you're going to get criticized for an 11-point win over a top-five team because the offense didn't score as many points as people thought it would, which is kind of ridiculous. I've been an Ohio State fan as long as I can remember, and honestly, I love the Buckeyes. I love the team. I love 99% of the fans, but it's really exhausting. Because, you know, that 1 or 2% are the loudest, and they really, you know, like, what's Ryan Day doing? What's, you know, this person doing? Why isn't CJ Stroud running? I get that, but it's like, come on, just maybe enjoy a win over a, you know, a big time opponent, and you know, let's just enjoy this one and move on. Obviously, we have 11 more chapters in the story to go in the regular season. So you go on and you defeat Notre Dame. Next up, you should have two fairly easy games on the schedule with Arkansas State and Toledo next before you take on Wisconsin, which is going to be a big one. So those two games should be very, very big going forward. So looking at this line, we're not going to get too much into Arkansas State talk, but Arkansas State, Ohio State. Ohio State opens up as a 43.5-point favorite, a 68-point total over-under. Listen to this money line. You would have to bet $10,000. You would have to lay $10,000 for Ohio State to win, just to win 100 back. So, you know, I mean, the chances of Ohio State losing this game are about none, but you never know. Arkansas State, if you lay 100, they somehow win, you'd win $3,000 there, plus $3,000 on the money line. So just an interesting tidbit I thought I'd put out there for you. But 43.5, I always get a little nervous with the spreads that big. In Arkansas State, you know, they played Grambling State, which, by the way, is coached by former Browns coach Hugh Jackson. They whooped on them last week, 58-3. So Hugh Jackson continuing to put up those L's at another place. So always good to, you know, have Hugh Jackson back on the show every now and then. But real quick, let's take a look at the Big Ten standings in the East. On the left, these were my predictions preseason. So I had Ohio State winning, Michigan second, Penn State third, Michigan State four, Maryland five, Rutgers six, Indiana seven. All of those teams won this past or over the first week of week zero and week one of college football, with Penn State getting an in-conference win against Purdue. Shifting over, looking at the western side of the Big Ten, I have Wisconsin winning the Big Ten, Minnesota second, Iowa third. By the way, Iowa beat a team in YSU's conference, South Dakota, 7-3. Listen to how they won. 7-3. Iowa puts up 7 points, one field goal, two safeties to get that 7 points. So just a very, very crazy weekend. But, you know, my predictions, we'll see what happens. But Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, I think are going to be the top three. But the way Iowa's offense looks, I might need to move them down. But Illinois, Northwestern, and Nebraska get wins. Northwestern actually was off this weekend, but that's a look at the Big Ten, East and West. Just a few notes from over the weekend. Obviously, you had the backyard brawl, Pitt, West Virginia, 38-31, a really good game to kind of kick off the season. Penn State comes back to beat Purdue, 35-31. The Hoosiers of Indiana rally past Illinois, 23-20. Alabama with a 51-0 win over Utah State. Utah State not very good, but still. Georgia just dominated Oregon, 49-3. Now, that is not a very good Oregon team this year. They were preseason number 11, but that's not going to be a very good team this year. Obviously, we talked about Ohio State. Florida has a game-saving interception in the end zone to beat Utah, number 7 Utah, 29-26 in the swamp down there in Florida. East Carolina, I felt really bad for their kicker. They go into Raleigh, North Carolina, lose 21-20, but they miss an extra point and they miss a field goal to lose that game. Cincinnati comes up just short over Arkansas. Houston and UTSA, which is Texas San Antonio, 37-35. Listen to this. North Carolina, the Tar Heels, give up 40 points in the fourth quarter to Appalachian State and still win the game, 63-61. Just an insane game. And then obviously the craziest game of the weekend, if you were up Sunday night and watching this game, LSU, which is now Brian Kelly is the head coach of, and, you know, basically, you know, kind of a home game for them. I think that game was played in New Orleans. And Florida State comes in, takes a 24-10 lead. LSU scores a touchdown and then goes on a 99-yard drive, scores on the very last play of the game. And then the field goal is blocked, hits the upright, and bounces off. So Florida State survives 24-23. And Brian Kelly is not well-liked in the college football community. And it's a shame. That's a shame. You know, and Notre Dame fans, I know that was a win for them over this weekend too, because, you know, Brian Kelly, just not a great dude that we really, really don't like. So anyway, let's shift to this weekend's top 25 and some of the bigger games of the weekend. So Georgia and Ohio State flip-flop spots. Georgia goes to 2, Ohio State to 3. But some of the big games this weekend, you got number 1 Alabama going to Texas. Pitt, about an hour down the road, is going to host number 24 Tennessee in a ranked versus ranked game there. Kentucky, who Austin was telling us a little bit about, number 20 team in the country, will go down and travel to Florida in an SEC showdown. That should be a big game. USC at Stanford, Baylor at BYU in a ranked versus ranked game there. That game for Baylor is absolutely huge as they really think to try to make the playoffs here. And then some of our Ohio games and 3-3-0 games here. Arkansas State at Ohio State again. Told you a little bit about that line there. You got Akron, the Zips taking on Sparty up in Michigan State, the number 14 team. Kent State. Kent State has a brutal schedule. They were just at Washington last week. Now this week they travel to number 7, Oklahoma. You got OU, the Bobcats, traveling to Penn State. That should be a tough game there. Eastern Kentucky at Bowling Green. Robert Morris at Miami of Ohio. UMass at Toledo. Then we have the Dayton Flyers coming into Youngstown for a kickoff here. That is a 2 p.m. kickoff. The Penguins get the win last week over Duquesne. Now they take on the Dayton Flyers. That should be a good matchup, but I like the Penguins coming off a 17-point victory over Duquesne to hopefully handle their business this weekend at home. And if you're around, especially this weekend, Ohio State's got a little bit of an easier game. So if you're like me and a big Buckeye fan, like I hate to miss any Ohio State games, but you can go down, watch the first half of the Ohio State game, then get down to the Ice Castle, grab a Penguin City beer, you know, just tailgate a little bit and have some fun down there and go watch the Penguins take on the Dayton Flyers. And obviously another team of significance in our area is the Mount Union Purple Raiders. They are off this week, but I think they won last week 63-0 to open up their season. Mount Union always dominant and should continue that for the foreseeable future. I'm going to skip that graphic there. That was our second down. We are going to transition now into our third down and go with the Cleveland Browns. So we'll be right back in just a minute. All right, let's go to third down. This third down is brought to you by the Moliterno Insurance Agency. We appreciate their support down here of Youngstown Studio. So let's go to some Cleveland Browns, some NFL football talk. The Browns, obviously, we know what's on the table this week. You have the Carolina Panthers. Not an AFC game, not an AFC North game, but this game is of huge importance, huge significance. It's a 1 p.m. start in Charlotte. It's a CBS game. It'll be on ESPN 850, 92.3 The Fan, or locally 1200, which, Joe, it drives me nuts that there's no local Youngstown station that carries the Browns. Like, we need that. I think it's actually out of Newcastle is the closest place, and that's 1200 a.m., at least by what I looked up. So, I don't know. I don't know why that is. Any idea?
Well, I got information. I'll tell you off air.
Okay. All right. So, Joe with some inside knowledge that we cannot share on air right now. But the total for this game is 41.5 points. The Panthers are actually the Browns actually opened up back in the spring as a 3-point favorite. The line went up to as high as Carolina 3.5. Obviously, the betting money now is coming in on the Browns. So that line has driven down to 1.5. So the Panthers slightly favored, basically kind of a pick 'em game. If you basically say, hey, you know, the Panthers get the home field advantage, the 3 points there. So they're laying the 1.5. So we'll see what this, you know, means, but we all know the narrative. The Browns have not won an opening game, a week one game since 2004. They had the tie with Pittsburgh a few years back. But 2004, since the Browns came back in 1999, is their only victory. So one, whatever, and one. It's
at least they're consistent.
they are consistent. They've shown a lot of consistency over the 23 years since they've come back. So, hey, this is why not? This is the best time to do it. Get back on it. Get that W. And let's see what happens. But obviously, we know the elephant in the room is Baker Mayfield, and hopefully we can put this story to bed after this. Now, obviously, the big reason Baker is gone is because you go out and acquire Deshaun Watson, and obviously he is not playing for the first 11 games of this season. So Jacoby Brissett versus Baker doesn't kind of have that luster of Deshaun versus Baker, but you know, they're not playing against each other. We know it's going to be the Browns defense versus that Panthers offense. So, you know, the Browns strong suit to begin the season should be going up against the Panthers. Don't get me wrong. They have some good players on their team. Christian McCaffrey. We know he's often banged up, but you know, week one, he should be healthy, ready to go. They got Moore, the wide receiver. They got a few other weapons, former Brown, Rashard Higgins is out there with the Panthers. So they are a team, you know, with a lot to prove. They got a lot of former first and second round draft picks, a lot of draft capital built up in this team. But with that said, I think the Browns have the advantage on the defensive line going after their offensive line, which doesn't bode well for Baker Mayfield. We will see how that all works out. But you know, we'll get to Joe and I's thoughts a little bit more on this game here in a minute, but I kind of, before we do that, I'm going to actually skip that one and come back, but we're going to go through the Browns roster a little bit. And I'm going to show you kind of the 53 man roster that we're working with right now as the season begins. So we obviously know Deshaun Watson is suspended. So Jacoby Brissett will be your starting quarterback for the first 11 games. Hopefully he stays healthy. Josh Dobbs will be your backup. Now there's no more Josh Rosen. He's gone. However, you bring in Kellen Mond, a former second round pick from last season of the Minnesota Vikings. He will be on your practice squad as a developmental quarterback, former Texas A&M quarterback. I think he was drafted around like number 60 overall last year in the draft. So that is possibly a nice pickup for the Browns. Someone that they maybe can develop to eventually be a backup quarterback for them. So that's what you're looking at in the quarterback room. In the running back room, we all know this is one of the major strengths of the team. You lead off with Nick Chubb. You got Kareem Hunt backing him up and possibly playing, you know, at the same time. You got D'Ernest Johnson back there, a proven NFL runner who's done it when both of those guys were out last year. And then you bring in the rookie, Jerome Ford, who rookie out of Cincinnati, a nice player that should help you both offensively and in the special teams department for the Browns. So really nice running back room you have there for the Browns. Now, here's the big question, the wide receiver position on the Cleveland Browns. So we obviously know Amari Cooper, and he is the most proven guy on the team. You can argue where he ranks in the NFL, but I will just tell you, he will be a consistent receiver, a good route runner, good hands, and should, you know, maybe doesn't do anything spectacularly, but does everything really well. So again, good route runner, great hands, decent speed, will get the job done, and usually a year in, year out, 1,000-yard candidate at receiver. DPJ will be the number two receiver outside most of the time, can go up, can make those contested catches, just a long physical receiver that can get the job done. Just hasn't had that many opportunities over the first 2 years. They bring in the rookie, David Bell, the third rounder out of Purdue. Probably would have been a second round pick, but just ran a slower time at the combine. The big question for the Browns, number 10, Anthony Schwartz, has gotten the dropsies over the preseason. So we'll see what happens with him. You also have Michael Woods, the second, was injured most of preseason. So we'll see what happens with him. Hopefully he can make an impact. And then Dmytryk Felton should be a returner, but also a possible slot receiver, scat back, whatever you want to say there for him. At the tight end position, you have David Njoku, number 85. You have Harrison Bryant in entering his third year in the NFL, now should take that next step forward. And then the Browns just signed Jesse James, a former Pittsburgh Steeler, a former Detroit Lion, and he played somewhere else as well. But should be a nice blocking tight end, but also can go out and, you know, get you a couple hundred yards receiving throughout the season as well. So Browns have a decent tight end room that I think could make some waves. And another position of strength for the Cleveland Browns is that offensive line. You have Jed Wills at left tackle. Nick Harris, obviously not there anymore, but you bring in Posick from Seattle. He's going to be your starter there. You have Jack Conklin at right tackle. And then your reserves, James Hudson, Michael Dunn. The first name of this guy, Froholt, I'm just going to call him. Can't really pronounce that name, but he should be a swing guard. And then Chris Hubbard, who you really missed last year, and Joe Haig as well. So the big question for me at that offensive line spot is Jack Conklin, his health. He's a former all-pro right tackle, which means you are in the top few guys at that position in the NFL. So hopefully he can make a big difference, stay healthy, and stay on the field to help that Browns passing and running game throughout the season. So let's look at the defensive side of the ball. One of the should be overall a big strength for the Cleveland Browns this entire season. You have obviously Clowney and one of the best players in the entire NFL, Myles Garrett, on each end there. Then you got defensive end Alex Wright, who is a rookie this year and making a big name for himself in camp. Chase Winovich comes in, Isaiah Thomas, the rookie out of Oklahoma. And then at the defensive tackle spot, I think this could be a strength for the Browns if they play to their potential. However, some people are looking at this as the weak spot of the team. So you got Jordan Elliott, Taven Bryant coming in from the Jaguars. You have Perrion Winfrey, the rookie from Oklahoma. And then you got Tommy Togiai in his second year out of Ohio State. So that's a look at the defensive line. Let's go to the linebackers now in the middle here. So you really have five guys on the roster who are going to play. So the main guys, Anthony Walker, Jacob Phillips at that middle linebacker spot, probably one of your best defenders, probably in the two, three best players on the defensive side of the ball. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, number 28, entering his second year at that weak side linebacker. And that is your speed linebacker. That's your linebacker that's going to get after it. Versus Christian McCaffrey this week could be a very, very big matchup. You got Tony Fields backing him up. And then you got a really good run stopper when he's on the field, when the Browns are playing that 4-3 defense in Sione Takitaki. So one of the best names, too, in the NFL. And then let's go to the defensive backfield, another area of strength for the Browns. So this team is really loaded on the defensive side of the ball, which, if the Browns can put up 20 points, they can win a lot of games this season. So looking at your two cornerbacks, you got Denzel Ward, obviously the all-pro, the pro bowler, Greg Newsome entering his second year, former first-round pick. Then you got MJ Emerson, who could be the steal of the draft, a third-round pick who, the Philadelphia Eagles, when they played them, were just talking this guy up like crazy. Has the pick six against the Jaguars in the preseason. You got Greedy Williams back there. You got AJ Green back there. And then at your safeties, you got Delpit and Ronnie Harrison. And then you have actually three guys at the free safety position. John Johnson. This was a great story. DeAnthony Bell, a 25-year-old rookie who was an undrafted free agent that made the team. A really, really cool story there. And then Richard LeCount, former draft pick out of Georgia, held on to his roster spot, which that was one of those that were in question. And then finally, let's take a look at the specialist for the Cleveland Browns. You have a really, really, really good kicker for the first time, probably since Phil Dawson and Cade York. You got Corey Bjorkes. They acquired him from the Green Bay Packers. I just picked who I thought might be returners. So, you know, Demetric Felton, Donovan Peoples-Jones, D'Ernest Johnson, and Jerome Ford probably are your kickoff guys. And then one of your longest tenured Browns, the long snapper, who is actually a captain this year, Charlie Hewitt, on you know, on the as the long snapper. So, Joe, I want to bring you in on this because so we know the four teams in the AFC North. You know, the Browns, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Ravens. So I put together a list of sort of I just called it King of the North. So AFC North ranks and where I think. So I went with ownership first. So if you had to pick the best ownership in the AFC North out of the Browns, Steelers, Bengals, or Ravens, who are you going with?
Am I going harder head? I don't know, man. I don't have a good answer.
I think even though, you know, I'm a Browns fan, like the Pittsburgh Steelers have the best ownership. The Rooney family, they've been so consistent. They like give their coaches an opportunities and chances. They don't fire guys. I just think they're the most consistent ownership in this division, maybe in all of the NFL. So I'm going with them.
All right.
Front office, I went with the Ravens. So, you know, Ozzie Newsome, former Cleveland Brown.
One of my favorite of all time.
You know, he used to be the GM there. But since he's been there, they've been really good. So that's who I went with. What about you?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not picking the Browns on either one of them. I noticed that.
Not the ownership part. I think Andrew Berry could eventually take over that spot for, you know, possibly the best GM in the league. They also have, I mean, everyone in that front office is a very smart,
yeah,
you know, cap manager, knows what they're doing. So I think they could eventually take that role over. So
I'm going to go with the Browns. I like the front office.
Okay. Yeah. And I think they, you know, obviously the Deshaun Watson move has, you know, taken some heat, but you know,
short-term, you give up, but long-term, it seems like it's going to be a brilliant play.
I think it's a long-term play there. Yep. I 100% agree. Head coach, I had to go with Mike Tomlin. You know, you got Tomlin, Harbaugh, yeah. Stefanski's still not there. And then, Zach, why can't I think of his last name? Zach Taylor down there in Cincinnati. Did get him to the Super Bowl, but I thought he was going to get fired after last season. Yeah. So who's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go the same thing. That's good rationale. Yeah.
I think Tomlin just is, he's never had a losing season. I mean, that's nearly impossible in the NFL. Who is the biggest home field advantage in the AFC North, in your opinion?
Oh, who's crazy? I mean, in the AFC?
Mm-hmm. AFC North. So any of those four teams?
The Ravens guys are crazy.
All right. I went with the Steelers just because I think that's our biggest rival. And those are the people I most interact with. But and I've never been to a Ravens game in Baltimore, so I can't speak to that. But
I know you know, the Steelers fans are a little quieter when they're not having a winning season, so we might be able to see what that sounds
that's
like.
True.
Maybe
that's
those
true.
Towels will be shoved somewhere. Yeah.
All right, here's a question: City's food. Which city has the best food? I put a question mark by this because, you know, I think hypothetically, let's just like. Baltimore's probably crab cakes they're known for. Cincinnati's out. Their Skyline Chili, gross. That grosses me out. So I'm saying it's between the other three.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Pittsburgh or Cleveland. Man, I have to go with Pittsburgh on.
Really?
Yeah.
So you like the pierogies, the Permane Brothers sandwiches and stuff. I'm gonna lean Cleveland on this one, just being a homer on that one. But all right, let's get to on the field play. I went with starting quarterback, I went with Joe Burrow as the best in the AFC North. I think when Deshaun Watson is back, you have a three-headed race there with Watson, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. But, you know, I think Burrow, obviously, he's gone to the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson's been an MVP in the league, but we'll see what happens there. Running backs, definitely the Browns.
Yeah, for sure.
Wide receivers. I don't think this is a question. I went with the Cincinnati Bengals.
I concur.
Tight ends. This is probably an easy one because Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends and he plays for the Ravens. So that's where I went.
Because Njoku's pretty.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
He gets pretty points.
Offensive line. I think that's an easy Brown slam dunk. 100%. Cincinnati's got a lot of questions. Pittsburgh offensive line is probably their biggest weakness on their team. And Baltimore's is okay, but not great. So the Browns get the easy win there. Defensive line. Definitely. This is a tough one because the Browns have a very loaded defensive end with Clowney and Myles Garrett. Now the Steelers, I went with the Steelers on this one because they have Cam Hayward and they have TJ Watt. TJ Watt's kind of considered it an outside linebacker defensive end, but I put him on the defensive line for this one. So I went with the Steelers. How about you?
Cleveland.
Okay.
Cleveland's
okay.
Only familiarity more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this one, linebackers, I went with the Browns on this one too, because I think the Steelers linebackers are a little weak. I think Baltimore's are okay and Cincinnati's are kind of okay too. So totally I went with the Browns. Yep. Corners. This one I think is only between the Browns and the Ravens. I went with the Browns, I guess, for familiarity. Yeah,
I'll say if statements. If we get some help in the, you know, who shows up this year, then it's definitely Browns.
Okay. All right. Safeties, I went with the Ravens. They drafted the kid out of Notre Dame. And they get back some help this year, with some guys that were injured.
Honestly, I'll go with the Browns. I just love our safeties. I think they're physical and mean. And
Delpit and Johnson, hopefully they step up. Special teams, this one's a slam dunk with the Baltimore Ravens just because they have the best kicker in the NFL, and he's a weapon. And then clutch factor, I went with the Bengals because of Joe Burrow, and I think he just won a lot of playoff games for them. So
he seems like a clutch quarterback, so I'll go with you too.
All right. So we're not going to get into all these games and stuff this weekend. So Joe, I just want your score prediction for the game and overall thoughts.
I honestly think it's going to be very offensive heavy. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. So what did you say the over was?
The over is 41.5.
I'm going to take the over on that. And I'm going to say 28-21.
Okay. All right. So based on the spread, it's looking like a 21-20 type game. You know, based on what Vegas says, but I hate giving predictions. So I'm going to omit my score prediction and just say, I think the Browns, I would take them in the money line because I don't know what to week one is so hard to predict and you just don't know, but I think the Browns come out with their hair on fire and get after Baker. And I'm sure Baker's going to make some plays too. And, you know, some people love that. Some people hate it, but it is what it is. But we will see. So Browns and Carolina, 1 p.m. on Sunday. So that was our third down segment. We're going to come back for just a real quick fourth down segment here in just a second.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform.
All right, back for quarter four, fourth down, whatever you want to call it. But this segment of the 330 Sports Show is brought to you by Youngstown Click. Appreciate their support of Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show. So we talked high school football. We talked college football. We've talked pro football. Now let's get into a little plethora of sports here. Obviously, we got two other Cleveland teams we're going to cover here. So we're going to start off first with the Cleveland Guardians. Really struggled over Labor Day weekend, but come back, win two out of three over Kansas City. Class A, unfortunately, blew a save last night, first time in a while. But, you know, they win two out of three. The Twins lose a doubleheader to the Yankees last night. So the Guardians sitting at 70 and 65, two games up on both the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. So with not a ton of games left to play. So they actually are off tonight. They play at Minnesota this weekend, home for the Angels, one quick game against the White Sox, and then a five-game series at home versus Minnesota. So to close out the season, you got Minnesota, the Angels, one game against the White Sox left, five more against Minnesota, then three against the White Sox at Texas, home versus Tampa, and then to close out the season, six games against the Kansas City Royals. Six games to close out the season again, which is unheard of. I've never heard of a six-game series. I'm sure it's happened before, but the Guardians are sitting in a good position, but you got to take care of business in your own division. So you take care of business and just go 500 versus the White Sox and Kansas City and the Twins, excuse me. And then, you know, you should be fine. So thank goodness they're playing in the AL Central this year, because in most other divisions, they'd be eight, nine games back of the first spot in that division. So another big happening over the weekend. I think we were broadcasting live at the Canfield Fair on Thursday, and I got an alert on my phone, and it says the Cavaliers have acquired Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz. And I just looked at my phone and was like, holy hell, where did this come from? Like, I heard rumors of it, but I didn't think they were in it. It sounded like it was the New York Knicks and the Utah Jazz, but all of a sudden Cleveland swoops in. So here's what I've heard. Kobe Altman, who is the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, was at the U.S. Open watching Serena Williams play and saw an ESPN report that the Knicks were kind of out on the trade. So he calls up the Jazz GM and talks start again, and then from Monday night until Thursday sometime, they close the deal and get a dynamic top 15 player in the NBA to Cleveland. He is signed for three more years, and hopefully they can lock him up for more. So you're bringing in Donovan Mitchell, whose nickname is Spida. So you're bringing in Donovan Mitchell along with Darius Garland, and you got Evan Mobley, and you have Jared Allen. All those guys are 20. In their early 20s. Donovan Mitchell is the oldest one. I think yesterday just turned 26 years old. But listen to some of these numbers for Donovan Mitchell, just regular season alone. 26 points a game, four rebounds, five assists, shooting about 45% from the field, about 36% from the three-point line, and gets about 1.5 steals a game. And again, a legitimate top 15 player in the NBA. And those guys just don't come around very often, especially to small market teams. You see guys go to the Lakers. You guys see guys go to the Heat or whatever, wherever. You don't see guys often like this go to Cleveland or, you know, small markets, Memphis, places like that. So this is a fantastic pickup for the Cavs, who arguably could have four All-Stars in their starting lineup. So that is a great, great trade for the Cavs. Now, some people might say you gave up too much. I say give up whatever draft picks you want. You know, I saw a meme out there. It was Kobe Altman and Andrew Berry, and it was like their face split in two, and it just said F them picks, because the Browns and the Cavs both gave up three first rounders this year to acquire star players, obviously, with Deshaun Watson and Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell doesn't have the off the field stuff, so you don't have to, or off the court stuff, so you don't have to worry about him. But in the playoffs, nearly 40 games in the playoffs, he's averaging almost 28 points, actually over 28 points a game, five rebounds and 4.5 assists a game. So, but in here's what this trade looks like. So they acquire Donovan Mitchell. They give up Colin Sexton, who was probably gone anyway. You give up Lauri Markkanen, a nice player, but nothing too special. You give up your first round draft pick this year. So I guess you could say maybe you give up four first round draft picks, but you know, a middle round draft pick who was probably going to play 10 to 15 minutes a game this year. And then you give up your 2025, 27 and 29 first round picks. Those are unprotected, but if the Cavs stay on the trajectory they are, those picks should be in the 20s. And then a pick swap. So a pick swap basically means you get the higher of the two picks. So the Jazz will get pick swaps in 26 and 28. But all that means is if the Cavs have a worse record than Utah, which they will not in those 2 years. So basically that is a wash in my opinion. So the Cavs have put themselves in contention in the Eastern Conference to make a run. Now the Eastern Conference is loaded. Boston, Milwaukee, Miami's still good. You got a deep plethora of teams there. However, the Cavs are right there in the mix for that. I want to talk about one more college football note that didn't discuss earlier, but the College Football Committee has decided to put together a 12-team playoff format that it will become available in either 24, 25, or at the latest 2026. So we are going to have a 12-team playoff in college football, which to me, I love it. I know certain traditionalists think the number should be 8. Or just keep it at the 4 because of regular season importance, because of, you know, just traditionalists and bowl games and stuff like that. To me, I love this, and here's why. So you get the first 4 teams will receive automatic first round buys. To me, that's a win because that still leaves credence on the regular season. Number two, the first round games, which will be played between the number 5 and 12 teams, will be played at the home field site of that higher ranked team. So 5, 6, 7, and 8 will host those first round games. I think that's awesome. I think it'd be so cool to see like Cincinnati host to Georgia, or Ohio State hosts USC or something like that at home. How cool would that be? Bring a Southern team up north in December. And that would be just really, really neat. And then, you have the top 6 league champions getting an automatic berth. So Big Ten, ACC, whoever it might be, obviously SEC, Pac-12, Big 12. And then you're going to get a random non-Power 5 school in there as an automatic bid based on whoever the top qualifying school is. And then the rest of the teams, the other 6, will be automatic bids based on their seeding. So the next highest ranked teams. I thought that was pretty cool. And then final note I just want to mention here before we leave, Serena Williams. This was just another cool thing. I was in Columbus this weekend, and this was Serena Williams' final match, but she battled back to win. I think it was the second set at the US Open to force a third set. And we obviously know her career has spanned, I think she started in like 1997 or something like that. She's 41 years old, and she's playing tennis at the highest level. She has won 73 titles as a professional, which is just amazing. 23 of those being Grand Slam. So, you know, US Open, French Open, Wimbledon, and Australian Open. So just amazing for Serena Williams there. And a great career, definitely one of the GOATs in all of sports, whether it's men, women, football, baseball, basketball, tennis, whatever, you name it. She is definitely one of the greatest all time. So thanks for listening and tuning in to the 330 Sports Show. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Appreciate you guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we